Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.
Sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today we're going to talk about the healthcare law effect on small business with attorney John Patty. If you have any questions, go ahead and pose in the chat room. John, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I guess I'll begin with, tell us about yourself, and then we'll go ahead and move right into the topic. And thank you for coming on the program.
I'm going into my 23rd year of being an attorney. I practice what can be considered the Jersey Shore, and I have been addicted to politics since college, and with all the action with the healthcare and everything else going on, the addiction has not gone away.
Oh, wow. Kind of tell us about, if you don't mind, the healthcare law. What type of – tell us of what is it, and for number one, is really what is the law? There's a lot of misunderstanding on what the law is about.
Well, look, it's a mandate. They equate this in many ways to the requirement of having car insurance in order to drive a car. So, God forbid, something happens, you're insured, and the person that you get into an accident was insured is insured with too. The thought process behind it is. It's noble. It's not a bad intent. However, it supersedes state law, and I think that's where much of the problem arises from. A lot of people say, "Well, you know, Governor Romney had it in Massachusetts. Yeah, he did, but that was on the state level. So the federal government's trying to address this problem where." You have all of these uninsured people out there, and they're using the healthcare system anyhow, and we're paying for it anyhow. So their thought process is, well, let's do away with that. Let's cover everybody with this universal plan, and we will now do away with the problems that we have where, you know, people show up in emergency room and they have no healthcare. It's attacked on constitutional grounds. Now, this is really important because I've been thinking about this ever since. I would have bet my paycheck that it was going to be held unconstitutional, except I wasn't looking in the right area.
Mm-hmm.
It was deemed to be unconstitutional based on the Commerce Clause, which says, you know, that Congress has the right to regulate business between the states, but they said that that's not what's going on here. At the very last moment, the Obama administration attorneys argued that this was in fact a tax, and
wow.
The government has the right to tax you for anything, and so long as they categorize this as a tax legally. Obamacare stands. Now, they don't want to call it a tax because, you know, tax is about the filthiest word you could say in the political arena, and especially around election. But, you know, when I thought about this, I was sworn in before John Roberts. This is no slouch. This guy will probably go down as one of the best justices, you know, going back in time. He is so sharp. I'm wondering if his thought was, you want this health care? You got it. But let's call it what it is. It's a tax. Now, I'll leave it to the states to deal with everything else, but you federal government, it's a tax. Now, how is it a tax? Well, one of the impacts on small business that you have is now the regular health care that we provide to our employees is going to shoot through the roof. Now, a lot of people don't know this. It's shooting through the roof not for the obvious reason that, you know, there's now health care in place, but in the health care are these little perks that they threw in. I don't want to say little, but the pre-existing condition. You can't be turned down for pre-existing condition. In the free market, you know, an insurance company had the right to do that. It's a heavily regulated industry. The second one is that it's identifying more of a nanny state that your children are not truly free, or, as we say in matrimonial law, emancipated until after the age of 26. In New Jersey, for example, we call when a child leaves the sphere of influence of the parents, we call that emancipation. That never goes beyond 22. We look at for events such as graduation from college, except when there's someone who's disabled. In this case, the child stays insured, may stay insured until the age of 26. So now what does that do? Insurance companies, they're going to turn around and they're going to say, look, we have to do this. This is the law. We can't turn around and deny it, but we're going to raise your premiums by 30, 40%. I have seen that personally with the threat of the Affordable Health Care or Obamacare, whatever you want to call it. Now it's projected, and I've been told, it's going to shoot up even more than that. So it's going to get to the point where, you know, when the president said, you can stay on your own health care if you want. Well, yeah, that's technically right. But you won't be able to because your health care is going to shoot through the roof. And the only thing you're going to have is the mandated health insurance, which, we don't know all the goodies that are in this law. And it's kind of frightening because as an attorney, you know, we're trained to read every single sentence and use that, you know, whichever way we can. I'm afraid in this 1,000 or so pages, there are things that we haven't even discussed. That are going to impact small business. I think at the end of the day, what you're going to find is the benefit, the perk of the employer saying, come with us, we'll take care of your health insurance. I think that's going to go by the wayside.
Do you think out of all of this, is it more of a scare tactic? Because if you spread the risk around, it seems like it should balance out. Do you think it's in the insurance best interest to raise rates to the point that it becomes unaffordable or stress businesses? I mean, they still depend on businesses for income. By raising it so far, you know, tripling, whatever, then it makes them more not competitive. And, you know, employers are going to have to offer – they don't have to offer it, but isn't it best interest to offer health insurance in order to make a package for if they really want that talented employee?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's an enticement, much like a 401K, much like 3 weeks instead of 2 weeks vacation. But it's going to get to a point where that benefit is going to be costly. So the company that, you know, these large corporations, like, you know, and believe me, no tears shed for them, you know, they're going to make their million somehow. But that increased cost is also going to be passed down to them as well. What are they going to do? So instead of making a buck, they're making 50 cents. Do you think they're going to settle for that? They're going to turn around and pass that cost on to us. Now, is an absolute no. Is it something that you and I could sit here and project that's probably going to happen? I think it's going to happen. I think the costs are going to be passed on to the consumer because, don't forget, private enterprise is going to make money. And you're right. They're going to entice good talent. They're going to try to get people to their firm versus the other firm by offering them perks that the other firm didn't offer or better perks. I experienced that myself where in competition to get new associates, I had a meet what the other people were offering plus in order to get them to come with me. That principle is universal among private enterprise. It is a good thing that everyone stays insured. I think, you know, there's no, we all agree with that. It's just going to come down to a matter of affordability. And at the end, you know, who's going to pay for it? And if this is truly a tax, like John Roberts is telling us, then, you know, we're all going to pay, all of us. And, in my opinion and my feeling right now, this is not the right time to be raising costs or taxes or taking any more dollars out of our pockets. I'm a staunch believer that, you know, let us make our money. We'll make the economy work. Like, take yourself, for example. You get a few extra $100, you save a little, but you also got to put some back into the economy. Maybe you go shopping. Maybe you give money to your children or your loved one. When the government takes that money out and uses it for whatever reason, be it health care, be it Social Security, be it anything, that money leaves the private markets, so to speak, and goes to the government. So eventually, we're all going to pay, whether it's called, you know, the spreading of the costs or however you want to term it. But don't forget, you know, we are a capitalist society. We are laissez-faire. It is free markets, free enterprise, freedom of choice. We ought to be able to say, I want health insurance, or I don't want health insurance. So to that extent, you know, I really do think we moved one step toward closer towards being socialized rather than being truer to capitalism, in which we flourished since this nation started. So, you know, I think there are obviously good points about this. You can't say the whole thing is horrible, and I won't say that either. I don't think the whole thing is horrible. I just don't think the whole thing is good. I think the way they attack the problem is not the most frugal way. I don't think it was with the keeping in mind that, you know, hey, look, you know, this is a capitalist society, and we don't believe in doing what Europe is doing or these other countries are doing, and we've done well in our beliefs. We've risen to being a power in the world, the power in the world, by this form of enterprise versus a central government or a social government.
So what happens when it comes to people who don't have insurance? What effect is it going to be an opportunity for them to have insurance?
Yeah, well, you know, here's the kicker. They've also said that, you know, you have to get health insurance, and if you don't get health insurance, then it's going to be a penalty. Well, now we know it's not a penalty, it's a tax. But they've not set in any it's not set in motion any modality to collect this penalty or collect this tax, whatever you want to call it. So it's, and you know, when I said before, we're all kind of wondering how this is all going to work and get together. We don't know how they're going to collect it. We don't know how they're going to enforce it. They'll figure out a way. You know, it is the government. They will figure out a way to make this happen, but you know, I think that much like anything else we register for in the government, like Social Security, it'll be that type of registration process.
Okay. And lastly, when it comes to the churches kind of have the same issues because of certain provisions. I think with the Catholic Church. What provision that they have, I think a lot of private institutions really have with the particular law?
Well, you know, you got we should focus on what the objection is with the religious institutions. Religious institutions, first of all, the Catholics don't believe in abortion. They don't believe that taking a life under any circumstance of an unborn child is warranted, is somehow sanctioned by the Bible in any way. And I'm sure there's many other Christian sects, be it Episcopalian or whatever, have similar beliefs. But in this point, the Catholics have stepped up finally and said, this is our position. The Affordable Act provides health care or what they call abortion rights for people who indeed want to terminate pregnancies. The hospitals, be it Catholic-based hospital or any other hospital, would have to, abide this. And I believe that is the objection that the Catholic Church is saying is, hold on, you're now telling us, the Catholic Church, that we have to provide abortion services to women when you know our position, that we don't believe it, we don't preach it, we're right to life, and we're not going to do it. And in fact, what you're doing is you, government, are impeding upon our freedom of religion. We object to that. It's a very interesting argument, and the argument has been made in other areas, but not to this extent. So it's going to be interesting to see how this goes out. Now, I remind you that they did carve out exemptions in the healthcare law for certain unions and certain entities, but there was no exemption carved out for the right to abort with regard to the Catholic Church. That could have been settled in one slash of a pen, one deal. Hey, look, this part of law is not going to apply to you because we know how you guys feel, and we know we know that you guys have been behind the fight from the very beginning. But they didn't do it, so it's going to be interesting to see how that turns out and how it makes its way through the courts. Eventually, I believe we're going to be back in front of the Supreme Court, but whether or not that's going to be a tax, I find that hard to believe.
Well, with that particular provision, will the administration allow to make any changes, to exempt people since now is law, or you have to actually write a new law to exempt that out?
I'm sure they could always amend it, but the fight has been around now for months, and the administration and the Catholic Church have been unable to reconcile this. And, I thought in the beginning, well, this is simple enough. You carve out the exemption, you leave the Catholic Church alone, and you just made an ally with, millions and millions of potential voters. I thought that was interesting where the administration said, no, this applies to everyone. You too, Catholic Church. And, in my lifetime, I've never seen the Catholic Church actually stand up and fight back. They've always been very meek and passive and, always stepped in line, but it's interesting to see that they're actually standing up and saying, no, we're not going to do this. This is totally against our religion and our belief system. So I'm wondering whether there's going to be a compromise, whether there'll be an amendment to this law. Or something, because this could heat up into something that I don't think the proponents of the Affordable Health Care Act really want to deal with.
Okay. In hindsight, I guess at the very end of this whole process, any good points besides being a noble cause that you feel that, things might get a little bit better, they might work out their particular issues, or hear some real good key points that may be favorable to small businesses and people in general?
Well, look, I think
now,
the fact
since it is law.
Yeah, it's the law of the land now, and that's it. You know, we can sit and make arguments one way or the other, but it is what it is now. I think the fact that we are gearing ourselves up to be a healthier nation, I think that's a positive. I think that there are problems out there with people who need health care, can't get it, can't afford it. Look, I run a law firm. I see the cost personally. I am also, you know, a father of three. So I know that, you know, or let me put it this way. I can't imagine being the father of three not being able to have any health care, you know, having to take my child to the emergency room for a cold or a fever. So in that respect, you know, I think that's something that is good where, you know, the law is reaching out to people that, you know, normally wouldn't be able to obtain this type of health care. That's good. What we don't know is how that's going to change, though. I mean, we're kind of saying we're going to change all these things, but on the other end, we're going to assume status quo. We're going to assume the same amount of doctors, same level of health care, the same access. And this is something that is all going to play out. Look, this is either going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread or something, you know, so bad in application that, you know, it gets repealed. But, this is something that we're going to find out. All of us.
Well, any last closing comments you'd like to offer?
Oh, look, I think I tell this to everyone. Get educated. And by education, I don't mean, you know, listen to people talk. I mean, read up on this stuff. Find out, you know, the good and the bad. Pick up the health care law. Start reading it. You know, what you don't understand, call up your legislator. Get involved in the process. This is so important that all of us, whatever side you're on, become involved in the process and get educated. If there is any time in our history not to stick our head in the sand, it's now. We're talking about things that affect us day to day. What more than the health of yourself, your loved ones, your children, your family? This stuff affects us. So get involved. Get involved, whether it's on the local level, on the national level, and become educated on what's going down. Then and only then, I think you're able to stand up and say, you know what, that's a scare tactic. Or, no, you tell them the truth. That really says that in the healthcare law. Whatever it is, but, you know, I think it'll make us less susceptible to someone saying that, you know, the sky is falling because they felt something on their head. Or whether or not something is actually a fact that they need to distinguish and discuss with their representative.
Wow. Well, thank you, John. I really appreciate you coming on the show. If they want to go to your website and get some more information about you, how can they reach out to you?
I'm at www.japlaw.com. And
okay,
JAP,
great.
That's my initials, John Alexander Patty. I figure when I tell people my japlaw.com, they usually never forget that, and I don't know why.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you, and
no problem.
Have a great vacation this week.
Thank you very much.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This has been another production of The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. Our special guest today was John A. Patty, talking about the healthcare law effect on small businesses. Everybody have a great day and take care. You listen to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.
Thank you for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For a free quote on equipment leasing and financing, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. And fill out the information to receive your free quote. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to the core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. Thanks again for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.